Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review the surprisingly value-priced Charles Krug Napa Valley Merlot. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Rob, how are you this evening? It's very good to be here.
It is. We have been on hiatus for vacations and the like, and mostly just because we've been drinking off air so much that we're unable to drink on air, if that's even a thing. But it might be.
Sobriety is
difficult
sometimes.
Sobriety is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being a drunk and then, you know, too drunk to... Well, that's all right. It's not important. You know my life story.
Sobriety?
Yes. Indulgence, you know.
Well, that is important to
I've
you.
Done quite a bit of that recently, too. So, but nevertheless, vacations are over. We are back at it. Back at the grind, as they would say.
Well.
The grind? That was an MTV show. I like that.
I'll bet you did.
A lot of shirtless people. That's right. That's nice. Oh. They danced. And this is Wilford, by the way, in case you didn't know. Yeah. I don't have any pickup lines for you tonight, Scott.
Thank God.
Just like to point that out. But I'm going to write some other stuff. And I'll talk to you about it later. Yeah.
I see.
You'll like it, I think.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I know. We always do.
I do.
Wilfred Wrong, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't even say penis on the air, too. So.
You just did.
Oh. Fuck. Anyway. On tonight's show, we have a wine that is a wild value. A wild value, folks. Sub-$8 wine. And it's just a rare treat. It is a wine, well, unfortunately, that isn't a rare treat, by Peter Mondavi, which, you know, Peter is, you know, Peter Cottontail of the Robert Mondavi family. But I actually have no idea who he is. I assume he's related. But,
no, I think he's, I think
okay, he's one of, exactly. He's not Fredo. That's Michael Mondavi.
Correct.
Yes. So Peter is somebody else. But Charles Krug is the winery. And that is a old school California winery, not a $500 a bottle winery, sub 100, but still good wines. And this is their Napa Valley Merlot. Now, I know what you're thinking, folks. If you looked it up, you say, well, that's around $30. That's not a value. That's not sub $8. Actually, it is. And I'll tell you how. If you go into certain shops and they employ people that are stupid, you know, and they tell this stupid person, hey, you need to mark down a bunch of those wines with this little price gun and then put them in a cart so we can get rid of the old stuff. And this person goes, and so what they do is they go get the new vintage of Charles Krug and they mark them down with their little price gun. So on the top of the thing, it has a grocery sticker for $7.99. And that's what I paid. I found it in the grocery cart. Now, I would say where I did this, where I found this, but I, you know, statute of limitations still haven't run. So,
well, it's
I did not have the price gun.
What he's not talking about is that those sticky little grocery labels might have gone from one package to another.
No.
He's never done
that. I bought three of the Merlot.
Okay.
And then I bought two of the Napa Valley Cabernet from Charles Krug, which is actually $40, but I bought it for $7.89. It did originally ring up front at $40, and I said, oh, no. There's a price sticker on top. And she goes, you're right, sir. So I got all five bottles for $40 or $39. So this is a value-priced wine. $8.
Not.
It is.
This is a value-priced scam.
Well, it might be. Nevertheless, we have this wine on the show tonight because we want to.
Well, it's a deal, and
steal.
I think it's a deal at the price you pay, but I think normally on the website, $28
Around there. I think one.com has it for, well, when they have it. Well, they have it, actually, I think. Currently for sale for $29, which is about right for a normal, not duck horn Napa Valley Merlot. You should pay $25 to $35
Right. I'm excited about this. We enjoy the better California Merlots. There are some bad Merlots made in California. Some bad Merlots.
There are.
It's once upon a time I would say that Merlot from California is always a safe choice regardless of who makes it. I don't say that anymore.
No.
I
you know, you're not drinking that fucking Merlot?
I'm not drinking that fucking Merlot.
I know. One movie cast dispersions upon Merlot. What I will say is, you know, the New World Merlots, it's hit and miss with me liking them. Let's just start off with that. Because, you know, they can be too jazzy for my taste. I prefer French Merlot-dominated things. There, I think it's lovely. Throw it in Italy, throw it in blends, lovely. Sometimes in the United States, it's too jazzy. It's too, you know, ripe. It does, Merlot is an elegant wine. It should have elegance to it. And when a wine is too fruit forward, or it's too oaked, or it's too this or that, it loses a little bit of that element. And Merlot is elegant, but it's also a bigger wine.
And I think some of it ends up
as a single varietal
that's, you know, very stems and seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is badass weed. It'd be better consumed while you were smoking marijuana. It's, there's some just...
You're talking about Blackstone Merlot.
Low-end Merlots that just... Well, and again, you know, we've been doing this show for a few years, and in that era, I felt like you could have any Merlot and it's going to be fine.
Well, Merlot is also very climate dependent. Merlot does better quality wise when it's cooler. Warm weather, warm, you know, Monterey, places that are just a little bit warmer than others. You get a lot, it grows in abundance, but it grows in a fruity, junky mess. Yeah. So, cold climate, you get a lot more concentration, you get nuance. Normally, those are also older vines, too. But you get a higher quality wine with nuance, with tannin, with astringency. Where, if you're in the middle of fucking cabbage country, you don't. You get fruit and piss. So, you don't really enjoy it. Nevertheless, folks. I mean, like, back to Sideways, which is what we were talking about. He's like, I'm not going to drink that fucking Merlot. Are you going to drink Petrus? Lepine?
He was a Pinot fan.
Well, I mean, well, are you going to drink anything from Saint-Emilion? I mean, Pomerol? I bet you will. You drink a good Franzac.
I think he was. His perspective was that evening when they were in California.
Well, didn't he
on a date?
Wasn't
they're meeting some?
Didn't he have some sort of some top growth red too that he ended up drinking out of a styrofoam cup?
I forget.
It was from Bordeaux.
That Pinot?
No. What he drank out of the styrofoam cup, I believe at the end, was some sort of Bordeaux. And I bet you it had Merlot in it. If it had Cab, it was 60-40, but it had Merlot. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. Scott has done some internet sleuthing, and he's looking up dick pics, but that's not the point. He also looked up what that wine was at the end of Sideways, and the site he had found, now he can't vet that necessarily, it's necessarily accurate, but he thinks it's Petrus.
Yeah, that's the...
Petrus is from Pomerol, and it's predominantly what grape, Scott?
Well, they say that the reader says it's 100% Merlot, but he gets corrected, and it says it's actually... Cheval Blanc, 55-45 Cab Franc Merlot Cab Sauv blend.
Okay, it's a Cheval Blanc. Okay,
yeah, it's the Chateau Petrus.
Okay, but still Merlot. Yeah. So the Charles Krug Napa Valley Merlot, it does have some reviews. Thank you. This is James Suckling. Of course, you know this. I'm very famous, but there are two reviews for this wine. I will read both. The first is from my prior employer that I left under certain circumstances. It was a bit of a... What's the word? I was going to say escapade, but it's not quite. Scandal. A bit of a scandal. It's not important what happened, or where it happened, or with whom, or if they're still alive, or if I should be wanted by Interpol. None of those things are important. But,
you know. I mean,
what?
Your relationship with Interpol should be important to you.
Not the band. The police agency.
That is a good band.
Okay. Anyway, the Wine Spectator gave it 90 of their points, and they wrote, firm, with a snap of dried green herbs to the dried cherry and berry flavors. Minerally mid-palate, with a finish that is filled with toasty oak, or toasty notes of and hints of mocha. And I, James Suckling, I provided this 93 of my points. And, you know, the 92s and the 91s are the dreaded scores. 93, I can't count that high, so it's not often I do this. Currants and berries with some pine bark undertones. Violets and earth, too. Medium to full-bodied, somewhere. Fine tannins and a fresh finish, just like me. Merlot character. Would you have thought that, Scott? Merlot character. And a Merlot. Really delicious now, but can age. I've said that a few things about the scandal with the Wine Spectator. I said that about a few people. You know, that might have, it was Thailand. And it's not important. Let's just move on.
Again, the Interpol relationship. And
I want to hear more about this story, James. Did you really tell somebody they were really delicious now, but can age? Is that what you said? Because I never give people the chance, if you get my drift. So, okay. This is 80% Merlot, 16% Cabernet Sauvignon, 3% Petit Sirah, and 1% Cab Franc.
Just for a twinkle.
Yeah. I would presume, I don't see the oaking on here, but I would assume it's on some sort of American oak. Toasted oak notes, but probably American. Although Krug could be French. We don't know.
Some.
Could be anything. Charles Krug won't tell us. They won't say anything.
They're very secret.
No. Dicks. So, oh, they said hello on Krug's website. Hello. Have a question? Text us here. We can't do that because Scott originally asked what they were wearing. And that just didn't work out. And so, yeah, we can't use the chat function anymore. It's okay. So, this wine in the glass, and if you hear closely, that is not a pterodactyl in my house. That is my daughter, who might be a pterodactyl. And she's meaner than hell, though. I'll tell you that right now.
It's, yeah.
She's just a, she's feral, I think is the term. She's feral.
It's so hilarious hearing Rob talk about her that he can actually has control of the situation.
So you stay out of the way and you hide, then that's good enough. Let the situation kind of take its, you know.
His life has been ruined by this child.
No, my life is fine.
She's going to dominate him.
She doesn't know where I am right now, so it's good. In the glass, it does look like Merlot. It's not particularly translucent. Plummy looking.
Decent amount of tartaric acid crystals, so.
A little bit.
We'll see about the acidity.
On the nose, though.
Born out in the bottle in the shape of those crystals. So see what that's like. It's a perfectly beautiful looking wine.
The nose, my friend.
I'll say we've seen denser Merlots in a glass.
The nose is the nose is a lovely menagerie of mint, dark chocolate, plum.
And my first thought was toffee, which is that dark chocolate and hazelnut.
Toffee.
But there's that hazelnut there too.
There's a bit, yeah.
Toffee.
I've never heard anybody pronounce that actually. Sage, perhaps, and there's a little bit of a floral, maybe just one violet that just is smeared across it. Just one half. Just a petal. One violet petal.
It's like a baby violet.
It's a baby violet, yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm horrible at the blind taste test and guess what this is thing.
I wouldn't do too well with that.
This, for me, is a Merlot nose. I don't know.
Well, it's a nice Merlot nose.
It really is.
It's a better nose than Duckhorn has.
This is a really nice nose.
And we've
balanced. It's a vibrant nose. None of what we're describing do you have to try hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird. I wouldn't describe it as a big nose, yet everything's easy to pull out.
Yeah. In the same price range as a Claude Bagassi, we loved that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it tasted like, but I know we loved it. But, you know, on the show, let's run through some of the ones we've done. We've done Pride.
Okay.
We love that. Did we do Duckhorn Merlot or did we do Duckhorn Cab?
I think both, to be honest with you. Over the years.
We drank Duckhorn Merlot 100 times.
I think we did Duckhorn Merlot on the show back in the day.
I don't know if it aired, but we've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of my favorites is Ferrari Carano's
Merlot. Ferrari Carano.
It's a little bit of a different breed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drinker, a smooth, silky thing that's a little bit...
It's the Justin Cabernet of Merlot.
It is different in its own little classic way. I wouldn't say it's not typical of Merlot, but you kind of have to put it off to the side in its own place.
Mm-hmm. Let's go in.
I would... you know who I'd love to produce Merlot? Mm. Turley. My life would be full.
Oh, that's really fucking good. Oh, that's really fucking good. That's fucking good. That's the technical review. Only on here will you hear such great breakdowns of that's really fucking good. Because it is. It is Californian, first of all. It is a grandiose spectacle. Very grandiose for under 30. First of all, it has perfumey elements. It's wildly bold and big, plummy notes, huge plum, huge chocolate.
Very round on the palate.
Very.
It's long.
Mm-hmm.
And the astringent, it's not the most astringent Merlot you'll ever have, but it's astringent enough.
Silky on the front palate. Mm. And we've had multiple other cheaper ones, even Napa. None of them have been, I mean, Claude Bagassi was in this realm. It was a little tighter and a little bit punchier than this, but... as a elegant expression and as a wine that you said, you know what, I want it to taste like X. This is X. It tastes like X. It has creaminess to it. It has, like you said, a long finish. And from the oak, it must be French because it has a bit of spiciness to it.
I got a huge bit of spiciness there.
Yeah. It's not heat. It's spiciness. It's lovely. But also, I mean, it's only 80% Merlot, so you're going to have a big, the 16% cab gives it that girth, that weight. And this is a highly reviewed wine for under $30. I mean, even with the Spectre and James, they get better reviews in the cab, actually. But
I tell you, this is, should be a go-to for people. This is like a signature for California Merlot.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a signature wine for me in the, okay, yeah, I suppose you could go a little lower in price for the entry point, but to expect quality, you know, you're going to be more than $20.
Yeah.
This is, you know, their price $28. Would you say wine.com was $29.99?
I bought it for $7.99.
But the Charles Krug, it's like $28. Mm-hmm. This is fantastic. This has fantastic nose, mm-hmm. which we went on and on about, and it can't be talked about enough.
Mm-hmm.
The chocolate, that spicy oak, the length, the dryness, the prune, and I think it almost has a zin-like, like muddled berry, subtle berry with that prune in the front palate. It's like, I don't know what berry I would call it. Some, you know, brambly is a term we use sometimes.
Uh-oh.
For berry that's like that.
It's
blue raspberry blackberry.
It has a little bit of red raspberry, blueberry. It's complex. It has complexity. It has layers. There are elements. They're both there. There's even just a little wink of rhubarb, but more rhubarb pie than a stockiness. It doesn't have the stockiness, stringiness to it. But
And the
certain elements of the wine, like the front palate, you have this big, beautiful, plummy silkiness. But then that berry element is almost like you have a nice bit of cobbler,
yeah,
right there, too.
Right,
it's like a buffet. It's like a country buffet. It's lovely.
And the chocolate with that oaking. For some wines, this oak, this level of oaking would be too much.
Could be, yeah.
And I think it would really calm down with a couple years aging.
Yeah.
Even a little bit more, because for some people, they might not care for this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's perfect. The oak appears a little early, and the chocolate appears a little early, and they both roll all the way through to the finish in a wonderful pairing of oak presence and that chocolate you expect from Merlot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's spot on what you want a Merlot. Honestly, and you're going to go, this is better than Duckhorn, the last Duckhorn I had. This is more complex.
It's just a different level.
I mean, Duckhorn is like the Merlot you see everywhere. You see it. It's $55, whatever. We like Duckhorn, mind mm-hmm. you. Don't think we don't. But it's overpriced. Their cab is a good buy at 50, but it's 80. And their Merlot, some states you can buy at 32, 33. And that's okay. You can buy it there, and that's a good price. But where we are, it's 50, 60 bucks. And that's a bit of a silliness. That's a silly price, really.
Particularly if you can get your hands on this.
Of course. This is a great drink. Normally you see the cab around here. You don't see the Merlot. But if you see the Merlot, folks, you need to buy it. You need to buy it, set it back for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This, the Clos Pegase, they're two great wines. That you know what? They're common-ish, but they have a special element to them. Well, Clos Pegase isn't common-ish. You're not going to find that. But
I don't, the one I don't think this would hold up to, it's headed that direction, but it doesn't get to where Pride is.
No. Pride is. No.
It's
no.
If,
that's not.
If this is a different level, then we were just talking about the Duckhorn, then the Pride's a different level above this. It has a completely different texture. Yeah. It's deeper.
Yeah.
More full-bodied.
Yeah, Pride is no. And yeah, Pride's a better one.
This is the chocolate in this is wonderful, but the chocolate in Pride should be a dessert. It's just delicious chocolate. That
Pride is just everything here, say, is dialed up to 8, right? Pride, everything is dialed up to 8.7 to 9.1. There's not one element of Pride that is so much better than this year Maize, but the sum of its parts are all better all the way through, and they just make a better wine. You know what I mean? It's not some sort of, it doesn't have this one element that is wildly superior to this wine, but all the elements are better. You know, Duckhorn is fine. You know, it's fine. It's just, if it cost the same as this, you'd be like, okay, it's comparable in a certain sense. I like this better than Duckhorn, though. Partly because I think that if you paid $40 for this, you would not be disappointed.
At all. I wonder what the case production is on this.
I don't know.
Let's see. I'm looking.
I would think it's lower, but you know what I want to try sometime? Because I've been to the winery, a winery that I want to get back to and taste in modern times, because it's been a couple of years since I've had it, is Silverado. Okay. I've never enjoyed Silverado, and I think I was wrong not to enjoy it. Does that make sense?
Well, just the fact that you are wrong is, you know, there's a great deal of probability of that.
So. I don't like Pine Ridge, and I'm not going to go back and try that, but
well,
yeah. I've been there too. But
again,
Silverado was very, very rustic, and it just didn't hit me right when I was there. And I've had it a couple of the times too, but the last time I had it, it just came across wrong to me. But I think where I am now, I'd be more into it than I was then. Put in an order today.
You did now.
Mm-hmm. I ordered. Penfolds released their new vintage of Bin 28.
Okay.
So I ordered one bottle of that. Then they have this Sangiovese that's got a 91 that you can only buy one bottle. I bought one of those. It's $11.99.
Wine.com?
Yeah. And then to top it all off, folks, this is for the show. Scott's going to love it. It was I forget who it is by, but it's $8.99. And it's a cava. And it's their Brut Rosé.
I do love cavas.
But it's an $8.99, man.
Why not?
Why fuck not? And I'd seen it before. I never bought it because, you know, now they have a thing. Only $4 more till you get free shipping. They have that ticker on the top. It's like only $4 more till you can suck a dick.
Oh, yeah. They'll be bitter.
I'm not.
You are bitter. That's very bitter.
No.
That's very bitter.
No. That's not bitter for me.
Listen, just because you jacked it up for everybody else in the stewardship program.
Yeah. They can suck a dick. It was this week. I also stopped at Giant Eagle Marketplace, which is interesting to any of you listening, but I picked up 3 bottles, all for Becky.
Oh.
Well, mostly. A Harvey and Harriet.
Okay.
For $29.99.
We love that.
I thought it was a 2020, which is but no. They had a 19, which is, for $29.99. So it happened to be that. Dry Creek's in.
Okay.
And then they had Turley Old Vine for $30.
Really?
Yeah. It was a 2020.
I grabbed that.
I think it was last week or the week before, I had an 18 Old Vines in. Oh, my. It was last week, I think. Oh, my God. So good. So good.
That's a nice sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
5 years from vintage.
Also had Intrinsic.
There's
the
a
weekend.
Name from the past.
Yeah.
Who did that? You did it?
I was at Del Mar, where you were supposed to be, but you didn't show up.
Well.
Dick. Anyway, this is Del Mar.
Well, issues.
It was Becky's 26th birthday, plus 14. So it was a big deal. So we all met. We were out in Columbus. We were around town, right? So we stayed at the Meridian. Normally we do this in a potpourri, but who cares?
A.K.A. the Joseph.
Yes, the Joseph. And it's a wonderful boutique hotel. Lovely services.
Great staff.
I found out I accidentally had, I wondered why it was $325 for a room, and I realized I got a corner suite. But it's her birthday, so that's okay. All told, it cost me about $380 for that. But that's okay, after taxes and everything else. But it's okay. She doesn't want to know what it cost. That's okay, too. But it was a corner suite. It was really nice. Really a great room. And we had drinks downstairs. I had a Las Hormigas Malbec, okay, which was lovely. Becky had Cava. No, she had a Prosecco. And then they just they comped everybody Cava or sparkling wine anyway.
So fantastic.
For celebrations, their 40th. So the Meridian comped that, right? So then we had dinner at Del Mar. And that's a Cameron Mitchell restaurant in Columbus, Short North. And it's predominantly seafood.
It's kind of a California fusion kind of thing.
It's not my bag. I don't really love it. Becky likes it, so.
We've never had anything bad there.
No, the menu, though, just didn't speak to me. That's okay, though. It wasn't about me. They do have nice, we did Oysters on the Half Shell.
Yep.
And
what's that bread? They have like a monkey bread thing that they do.
I don't think they brought that out. There was
it's an appetizer. You have to order it.
There's 13 or 14 of us. I forget how many there was of us. But and this is the, I'm going to tell an amusing story. And I'm going to change his name. So, you know, nobody knows. We're going to call his name Fashua. We'll just call him Fashua.
Fashua?
Fashua.
This is a person in your group?
Yes. Yes. Fashua.
That's so stupid.
Sorry. Fashua. Fashua. Yeah,
nobody can guess what that person's name is.
No, it could be a Kashua. Anyway, he ordered shrimp bisque. So we're going to start off, he had shrimp bisque as an appetizer. Then he had scallops. Fine.
Okay.
Nothing unusual about that. My friend Jason, he had the seafood stew that you had that one time. And I think it was better this time. It looked great. And I had the scallops. You know, Becky kind of convinced me. She ordered for me. It was her birthday. I gave her too much latitude. Lovely food, but we were still hungry, right?
Well, you ordered scallops.
Yeah, I know. Well, there are not a lot of hearty foods on there. But so we're walking down the road, and we're going to go to the rooftop bar at the Hilton, which then we realized that's too fucking far. But where are we? Oh, we're at Hyde Park. So we went into Hyde Park Steakhouse, folks. And this is one of our favorite, my favorite restaurants. We all love it. Scott loves it. Mm-hmm. And Scott, you know when you go in there, they have that fireplace, right? With all those leather chairs.
It's nice.
They set us up there.
Did they now?
Yes, they did. They said, please sit there. And we got appetizers. I got beef carpaccio. Becky ordered French fries. They were great French fries. The beef carpaccio is even better. We got crab cakes. But Fashua, or Kashua, he was still hungry, too. So Fashua ordered lobster bisque, sack of bowl bisque, and then potatoes au gratin. And they're potatoes au gratin, folks.
It's big order.
It's a lump of, they're delicious, but, you know, it makes you a fat man. So Fashua made himself sick, basically, off bisque. And Hyde Park, now, Del Mar, dessert, they brought out something. But Hyde Park, they comped, brought out three flourless chocolate torts for us.
That's really nice.
That's really nice. And we just like, yeah, we're celebrating her birthday. So they went buck wild and brought that out. And by the way, Hyde Park in Columbus, there is no better service at a restaurant that I've ever been to. Every single time I've been there, whether I've been there with friends, with my children, they treat everybody like they're royalty. Even an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old. They cherish everyone and they treat everyone respectfully and like they are gold. Yeah. So if you want great service and to really enjoy the experience, go to Hyde Park.
Ocean gives you great.
Ocean
great,
does. Ocean Club, though, sometimes can have a little bit of a scandalous prostitute-y clientele.
But
Okay, fine. You've been to Hyde Park late on a Saturday.
I know.
They well, you just were.
They just, yes, they
and
did.
They like to sit them
it's
in that.
It's close to the convention center, folks.
You know where they like to sit people that are scandalous? I think in the leather chairs area.
Could be. Now, at.
Missed it.
At
missed
there. It. First time in my life, I ordered a glass of Quilt. Cabernet.
It's fine.
It's not bad. I make fun of it. It's not a bad wine.
I love
it. It was $18 a glass.
Honestly, I love it.
For $50, you can do worse. You can do worse.
You really can.
You can do better, too. But so that was that. After that, we also had a bottle of 8 Days in the Desert.
Ooh.
Keep it in the desert. Quite lousy.
Oh.
It's lousy. It's a lousy wine. It's like Prisoner, folks, if Prisoner was worse.
Oh.
Yeah. It's really not a good wine. Very boring, flaccid, dull.
Just like you. You think you'd like it.
That's right. He's so funny, folks. Nevertheless, we're going to take a break. But then, we're going to be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's Potpourri, we have a popular segment for me.
Very popular.
Yes, it's called Ask Physician's Assistant Wilfred. There is a WineSpectator.com column called Ask Dr. Vinny. We don't have a doctor on the show, but we do have a physician's assistant, Wilfred.
Allegedly.
That's right. No, this is Wilfred. By the way, I got fired from my physician's assistant. Now, I'm bedpan emptying Wilfred. I'm an orderly. That's okay. Orderly Wilfred. I'm not orderly.
Yeah, I would not think of describing you as an orderly
person. No, no. I clean, I wash old people in nursing homes. Sponge bath Wilfred.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know. Anyway, I am here to answer all the made-up emails that Dr. Vinny gets on WineSpectator.com. So, Scott, would you please read the first one as our host here?
Dear Physician's Assistant Wilfred.
Thank you for still giving me that fake title, yes.
This is from Thomas in South San Francisco.
Thomas in South San Francisco.
I'm hosting a Bordeaux blind tasting.
Mm.
I'll be serving some delicious bottles, and I'm worried about timing.
Moutanque
the decanting.
Day. He's got Clarendel, Moutanque Day.
Is decanting the bottles an hour before the tasting enough? Should I pour the wine into a canner and then back into the bottle, or is that overkill?
Well, what you should do, Thomas, is you should pour them back and forth and swash them around as much as you. First of all, Thomas, we're not interested in your Clarendel, Moutanque Day, Ronin by Clean A tasting. We're not interested in that, no. But if you had good Bordeaux, folks, expensive Bordeaux, if you have to ask, should I pour the wine into a decanter, then back into the bottle? What the hell is that? I mean, Jesus, a decanter is there to decant the wine. What would putting the back in the bottle do? Get the sediment back mixed up in the wine, you dipshit? First of all, Thomas, his tasting is like a little girl having a tea party. It's all fake. He doesn't really have anything, but he has Sutter Home Cabernet and Merlot. And maybe the red blend for a secret thing. And you're going to blind taste that. Then you're going to blindfold yourself as you drive home to hopefully get the memories out of your head. So what the doctor, I don't even want to know what Dr. Vinny said, but why don't you move on to the next question?
Drive blindfold, Thomas. That's what I'm telling you. Go ahead. Is that inappropriate?
What? If he's doing a tasting with a bunch of people that don't have eyesight,
there's no body.
How would they know
tasting.
Whether it's in the decanter
he's
or in the
bottle?
He's there
masturbating with a jar of mayonnaise.
Miracle Whip. I mean, I don't.
Duke's mayonnaise. That's the proper one you masturbate with. Check, watch their commercials. It's in there somewhere. They made one like that sometime, I think.
Sure.
Masturbate with Duke's mayonnaise.
Love Duke's. I loved Duke's.
Oh, it's
mayonnaise.
Good and creamy, that's for sure.
Jeez.
Secrets in the sauce.
Dear physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, I'm very professional.
Having read your answer to the husband who doesn't wish to share his expensive wine at
a
restaurant.
Fuck that guy. What was his name? It was Brett, wasn't it? His name was Brett.
Yep.
Nobody likes a man named Brett because he's not a man. He's a bitch. That's what Brett is. Well, go ahead.
Wouldn't share his expensive wine.
No, he's a dick.
I agree with your suggestion that he let the others know, be bringing wine in advance so they can bring wine to share as well.
Good for you.
Another possibility for people who are going to accept a friend's kindness but have brought nothing in return, offer to pay the corkage fee.
Oh, $25. You're so generous. First of all, a corkage fee is not very expensive. So if you brought a $300 bottle of wine and someone goes, hey, Brett, I'll pay your corkage fee. What you do is they take that cork and you shove it up their ass. It's $25, you cheap shit. Dr. Vinny thought it was a great idea. But yeah, I'll pay the cork. Now, it varies at different restaurants, but most likely, folks, the corkage fee will pale in comparison to the actual bottle of wine cost. Unless Brett was bringing in, you know, Ruffino Moscato or some shit like that and thought it was nice.
Well,
it's something that Brett would do, though, you know. Duke's mayonnaise, folks.
Dear physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
It's from Matthew in Dallas, Pennsylvania.
You're just fucking with me now.
Dallas, Pennsylvania. Matthew wonders about wine storage after reading your recent answer about aging bottles at room temperature.
Oh.
Matthew inherited a wine fridge, but its motor stopped working. Do you think storing wine in it will still yield favorable results? Or could that end up damaging the bottle since the fridge is not actually turned on? Part of me doesn't see why that would harm the wines as it's still relatively cool inside the fridge.
Where do you keep your wine fridge? If you keep it in your garage, it probably isn't a good thing for the wine. Relatively cool. First of all, what was his name?
Matthew.
I
bet he was
one or two
cool.
T's. I want to properly address him.
It's two T's.
Two. Oh, fuck him. Anyway, Matthew or Matatu. Yeah,
Matatui? Well,
Matatu. Yeah. Refrigerators, when shut, don't have circulation. So, you know, you have dead stagnant air in there. If the room is cool, it's okay. But you might as well take the door off the refrigerator. I guess you could keep the temperature stable that way, but if you have stable, musty air, you could cause, like, nastiness, and you could open it, and it could smell like farts. You know what I would do if I went to Matthew's house? I would open his wine fridge, and I'd fart right in there, and I'd shut the door. I'd teach you to. Then your Charles Krug Chardonnay would taste like shit. His vertical of KJ Chardonnay would be ruined.
KJ.
I have 15 through 2022. Wow. Yeah. He drank all his Lindeman's Bin 65, so.
Dear physician's assistant, Wilfred.
Yes, that's me.
This is from Wayne in Maidstone, England.
Wow.
I work in a bar, and sometimes I see two bottles of the same wine open. Can I pour one bottle into the other to combine them?
Why would you do that? Why would you do that? I mean, you can't close it.
Oh, it's a new bottle. Oh. Look at the smoke coming out of that cork. It's
it's not unusual for a cork to be 2 inches out of the bottle when I open a new bottle.
I don't understand. Why would you? What was his name? Wayne? Why would you do that, Wayne? And if you're in a bar and you have two bottles that are identical, that are both opened, then that makes you a stupid gooch because you should have opened one, emptied it. Then once that's empty, you know what you do, Wayne? Then you open the second bottle, you dipshit. What the hell are you doing? Oh, yeah, I opened the second one, too, in case there's a rush.
Hey, look, they left half that bottle of wine on their table.
It only works, Wayne, if it's a sparkling wine and you pour the second bottle in the first and then you shake it real hard and you spray it on somebody with a white t-shirt. It's the only time it works. Try that next time. Yeah. Owner's wife. Do that to her. I think that would work well.
It would work really well for you, Wayne.
You'll be long employed at that bar, jackass.
Dear physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, thank you very much.
What do legs in a wine glass mean?
Not fucking much. I know you get excited about them, but it's just now. It could be a lot of things. What does it mean? Nothing. It means nothing. It's a fun conversation. Look at the legs. Drink the fucking wine. Rob the wine guy sometimes, he allows Scott to indulge in the legs, but it doesn't mean a lot. It could be from temperature changes, you know. It can be from the alcohol levels of the wine sometimes,
that's
too.
That's
but, I mean, there's all sorts of a myriad of things. But it doesn't necessarily mean the wine's good or bad, you know. If you meant legs like sawed-off legs in a freezer, I could tell you more about that.
You could.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You want thick-plied tarps on the floor.
Okay.
I found that just the cheap plastic sheeting, it can run off.
Leaks?
You want some texture on there because it doesn't, yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
It, like, inhibits the flow a little bit.
Milwaukee Tools. Best kind. Just saying.
Dear Physician's Assistant Wilfred.
Yes, thank you very much.
Whenever I pour wine from a bottle into a glass, a drop of wine usually runs down the side of the bottle.
Oh, no.
Stains the label and my countertop.
Oh, stains your countertop. What's your countertop made of, cardboard?
Is there a technique for pouring wine that avoids this? This is Logan.
Logan.
From Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay, well.
Explains a lot.
Well, Logan, before you pour the wine into the glass so you can get your sister drunk again and have your way with her, first of all, you shouldn't have cardboard countertops.
Is that well?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what countertop stains from wines? Got it? Linen countertops?
Linen.
You put tablecloths on tables, not on countertops. I'm just letting you know that, Logan.
He did his kitchen refurbish.
It's OSB.
Courtesy of the Odd Lots.
It's OSB. It's unfinished sawdust. It's
even OSB, I don't think, would stay.
No, probably not. Well, no. You know, your sister doesn't care when she's drunk and you're taking her shirt off. So, you know, or cousin. I'm sorry. I'll make it more PC for you, Logan. But still, what was the question? Oh, anyway, how do you keep it from dribbling down?
Yeah,
don't fuck up and do it right, Logan. You can turn it. You can act like a douche. You can lie. Does it make a difference? I mean, seriously, you have.
Well, you wanna, he, I think he's concerned. People's he's, perception of his abilities.
He's serving Mogan David, is what he's serving. Well. That's what he's doing. It's Mad Dog 2020. Are you going to save that label there, Logan? I mean, you know.
You do, Wilfred.
Yeah, I know, but that's because it's evidence, and I don't want anybody else to get it.
Well.
I put those things in secure places, so. Don't molest your sister, Logan. It's wrong.
Says Wilfred wrong.
It is. I know that. Just his sister. Other sisters is different. But go ahead. Or is that it? Scott's a great host. Lots of dead pauses.
Dear Physician's Assistant Wilfred.
Yes, ma'am. Or sir.
This is from James from Sacramento.
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 Yes. Oh, right next to Lodi.
Yeah, home of the cabbage patch.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, yeah. Carlsberg. Go ahead.
Dear Physician's Assistant Wilfred, isn't wine tasting subjective? Not everyone's taste buds are the same, so how do I upsell if I don't believe in the description I've been given for a wine. For example, Chardonnay doesn't taste buttery at all to me. I think it tastes dry and oaky. Help me understand. Is it okay to recommend a wine that I don't like?
What was his name again?
James.
James. Look, James.
From Sacramento.
You're a dipshit. So, obviously, you don't know what you're doing. We'll start off with that. Chardonnay. I mean, if a person comes in and says they like Chardonnay, guess what you should recommend, James?
Chardonnay.
Maybe so, James. Or you could maybe say Viognier.
What if he says it's not buttery, but he's trying to upsell and they want him to describe it as buttery?
Well, stop drinking Callaway's Chardonnay then, James. I mean,
maybe you should tell him it's margarine-y.
Drink a good one. Then you'll find something that has a buttery element to it.
There you go.
Something good, not shitty. Because then, yes, is a Kendall Jackson buttery? No, it's a lifesaver. But is Ramey Chardonnay buttery?
Ooh.
Yes. Is Farniente? Well, sometimes at your grocery store, you're going to find the 2014 bottle because they don't ever sell it.
Well,
don't buy that. But well, is a fresh bottle? Yes. Is Sonoma Couture? No, because it sucks, but that's okay.
Well,
we'll ignore that for a second. But good Chardonnays have a buttery element. Don't be a... I don't like the pepper. I don't like... there's not much I don't like, now that I think about it, but, you know. Scott, he doesn't like German pornography, strangely enough. Does he still recommend it? Yes, he does.
To you?
Well, yes.
Well...
I said, Scott, what do you recommend in pornography? Because Scott's an expert in pornography. He
German.
Is.
German.
Well, yes, but you don't like it. Why don't you like German pornography? Because you got confused. I meant German people having sex. Scott thought it was Nazi stuff. And I went, no, I don't want to see them dressed up as Nazis. And how the hell did you have that? He had this stuff. And I was like, that's not necessary. That's Nazi pornography. I don't want that. I want German pornography.
Pseudo.
Pseudo?
Pseudo.
Pseudo-German?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, they didn't have persons that are built like that in the army.
Okay, that's fine. It's not real life. We realize that.
Oh,
yes.
What?
But nevertheless.
What?
Scott, if you need Nazi porn, email Scott at thewinevault.com. He'll have that for you. Strangely enough. Anyway, folks, I hope you enjoyed tonight's Ask Assistant, or I don't know who I am. I'm Wilfred, and I'm an orderly, and I give people sponge baths, but I also assist physicians when I try to steal their car. But anyway, we're going to be right back here on the Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. So, the 2020, and I don't think we said the vintage on this, Charles Krug, Napa Valley Merlot. We are going to go over to Scott, who's going to give this wine a numerical score. And we've been so busy with our presentation of Ask Physician's Assistant Wilfred, we have hardly drank. We'll have to drink.
I'm at 91, and I'm not really sure why. It doesn't feel quite right. But that's where I'm at, 91. Fantastic. It's like this is the classic Merlot.
Mm-hmm.
Good price. You're not going to see it what Wine Guy paid for it. Stole it. He stole it. It's falsifying.
I'm driving back to Myrtle prices. Beach. That's all I'm saying.
Just to get this wine.
It's worth it.
No, the fruit, the transition from the front palate to the finish with the chocolate and the oaking that's spicy, the brambly berry fruit, it's just round. It's not the biggest bodied, but I would call it just right at approaching full bodied. It's perfect. The texture of it's perfect.
It's exactly what it should be, really.
I'm 91 and it doesn't feel like the right score, but that's where I'm at, a 91.
You think it's too low or too high?
It feels like I should be higher.
No.
That's where I'm at.
I think this wine is a 91.
That's where you're at also?
You could say 91 plus, but I think it's a 91. Partly because there's no real collectability here. I mean, it's an Amarillo Merlot.
Still, we both agreed that it could
It's just a super quality. Back. It's just a super quality, high quality wine that really hits all the boxes. And it's really what you should expect a Napa Valley Merlot to be. It's the benchmark. Anything beyond this is just gravy, you know. Great wine, and quite frankly, it's such an impressive thing. Yeah, I got it for $7.99 on a fluke.
That's fucking right? Ridiculous.
It is. Scott tried to buy some from me, and I'll sell it to you for $50 a bottle.
But it's, you know, if you paid $40 for this, if this meets the mark of a $40 wine for sure.
You're not losing money there.
It's
you're satisfied. You're satisfied. Yeah, it's a great thing, and you know, I have a couple bottles of the Cabernet, but this wine really, I think, from the review standpoint, is the better of the two. I'm going to seek this out. If I see it, I will pick up more of this Merlot. I will. And quite frankly, normally, it scores pretty well.
I tell you too, if you're out and you see Charles Krug mm-hmm. Merlot, having a nice meal.
Yeah.
This would really flexible in what it would pair with.
Well, the 19 got a 93 from Suckling and an 89 from Wilford. That's odd. Then 18 got a 93 from Suckling, 90 from Spectator, 90 from Enthusiast, and then the 16. This is fascinating. This really is fascinating.
This is fascinating.
Got an 89 from Suckling. You ever seen that before?
No.
Never either. Let's read that review.
Yeah, he does. It's something below 90 from Suckling.
Yes, it was a Napa Valley Merlot that manages to be simultaneously ripe and fresh with plenty of blueberry and cranberry character. If there wasn't a touch of warmth from the alcohol in the finish, it would rate higher.
Unless it burned on him a little bit. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. He gave a reason.
But that should be an 82 or an 83. But, you know, what did Wilford say about the 19? He gave it an 89.
Yeah, I did. That's right. I can read that for you. Commentary. The 19 Charles Krug Merlot is ripe, smooth, and pleasing on the palate. I'm such a wordsmith. Anyway, this wine, tasting notes. This wine offers aromas and flavors of black and red fruits, as well as hints of oak.
Fucking.
What? Enjoy it with a well-seasoned oven-roasted porchetta.
It's like.
Okay.
It's, you know, God.
A porchetta?
Yeah, but it has to be well-seasoned. It's
no
just
mango chutney.
Offers of aromas and flavors of red and black fruit. Wow. Hints of. He doesn't write. I mean, God.
He's terrible.
You could have just. Okay. We're going to do something real quick.
For the record, Bangalore is Bengaluru in India.
Nobody knows.
Well, Mr. Vinnie George knows. I would call this one of the more versatile reds we've had in terms of what you could pair this with. The porchetta, which is obscure, actually would be quite pleasant, this wine, pairing that with it. But I could think a roasted chicken where the skin is all crispy. You pull that drumstick off.
You're always about that.
Steak. You could have a steak with this. Would you have a big ribeye with this?
You could.
You could, but, you know, sirloin, filet,
Strip of the peppercorn sauce.
Strip, this is perfect.
Yeah, steak Diane.
For me, this is right where you want to be.
Yeah. It's an excellent wine. Excellent wine. Tip of the cap, Charles Krug.
Cross this over to Italian fare, red sauce.
Sure you could.
It would handle it perfect.
Imagine a reduction of short ribs. Short ribs would be great with this. Short ribs would be great with this.
Mm-hmm. A little brandy reduction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sautéed mushrooms.
You know, I've got those ingredients at my house right now.
I bet you do. Lovely.
I've got, like, almost 4 pounds of short ribs.
I've got, like, 5 pounds of skirt steak.
Wow.
They had a... Yeah, they were all on closeout, and I just bought, like, all six of them. Yeah. Six of them.
Yeah. How can you go wrong?
No, you can't. I love skirt steaks.
I mean, maybe you have to trim it yourself. I don't know.
Yeah.
You usually don't see that.
No.
Skirt.
Yeah. Sear that up. Good stuff. So, folks, 291's Hall of Fame for Charles Krug, Napa Valley Merlot. Tip of the cap to Charles Krug, and tip of the cap to Wilfred Wong. So,
thank you very much. Why? Why?
Scott, you're giving me the tip of the cap. I get what that means. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No, we give Charles Krug a tip
And a bow. I did physician's assistants tonight. That's a lot of work.
And maybe even an honorarium game.
What?
When a player leaves a team, they oftentimes bring him back and he plays an honorary game.
I thought you said reach around. I don't know why I thought that.
It's on your mind quite a great deal.
That's the courteous thing to do, Scott. I'm just telling you.
When you're in a prison jail? No.
It Wilfred, is. It's
Wilfred.
Nice. You know? It's common courtesy. It's etiquette. Read it.
Is it?
Yes. Google on your work computer is a reach around proper etiquette. You should do that. I recommend all of you out there, look that up on your work computer when someone's standing behind you, possibly, more likely, a supervisor. Because
somebody from HR.
They'll appreciate that. They're like, oh, this person's interested in etiquette. Yeah, okay. That's right. It doesn't mean you're sophisticated. Yes.
Sophisticated.
Sophisticated, yes.
Fist.
Fist, yes. Right up the ass. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu, but we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.